Okay, well, first off, I want to thank, you know, really grown to appreciate throughout this year to have an owner like Shad Khan and a head coach like Gus Bradley, where the three of us are really aligned in our philosophies and our beliefs, and really grown to appreciate how important that is to not only to me, but to this organization, this community, and to have all three of us aligned with a similar vision and similar goals, I think is critical for the growth of this organization, for us to continue what we started this year. You know, Shad has been incredible, extremely committed to this team, to Gus and I, and to this community. So we're very fortunate to have him as an owner, and, you know, Gus is our leader of the team. So I wanted to take a few minutes to you know, let you guys know that. The year as a whole, very challenging but very rewarding. I think you guys know our challenges, and we faced them, and we went through a lot of adversity early on. Finished up relatively strong, but rewarding for mostly because of the people we brought into this organization. And, you know, Gus and the assistant coaches, the surrounding support staff, everybody did a great job of fighting through this year and have been active in the community, and we're excited about what's ahead of us.
Any questions?
Dave, before the year, Bill Polian, obviously you're familiar, worked with him. He said for you guys it's a year of discovery. Do you feel like you have a long way to a lot of things discovered, you get a long ways in that?
You know, I think we made pretty good headway with that. We figured out a lot of our strengths, a lot of our weaknesses. This was really our first step in this journey and in this process. And, you know, our first step was to build a foundation, to figure out our strengths and weakness, to set a standard of acceptability, and to kind of figure out where we stand amongst the 32 other teams. And I feel like we've made good headway with that.
What are those strengths?
Well, one is I believe we have tremendous leadership right now. And, you know, not only with our coaching staff, but some veteran players have stood up and have come to the forefront for us this year. We feel like we've got a good core of young group of players that have really came in and produced as rookies, which is hard to do for one. And we look forward to those guys taking a step in year two. And I think generally your rookies from year one to year two is where they make their biggest growth.
What about the weaknesses? You said you discovered strengths and weaknesses. What are the biggest weaknesses?
Yeah, I think for us it was really early on was consistency and experience, along with those rookies doing well and playing. There's a lot of inexperience, and you have a lot of ups and downs with that. And the consistency aspect would be one of our weaknesses.
Dave, you got with your salary cap situation, can you ballpark how much space you would have?
You know, we have to carry over some cap space, and we're in the process of doing that now. I'll probably have a more accurate number for you guys in a couple weeks.
Dave, can you kind of assess the draft class, what you liked, what you saw out of those guys, and who kind of stood out for you?
Yeah, I think from top to bottom, felt like those guys all made improvements through the year for the guys that played. And that's a real credit to our coaching staff, Gus, and our assistant coaches, and as well as the players. Really feel like the one guy, just reflecting a little bit back, was Jonathan Cyprian, where you see a guy that make constant improvement from day one all the way to the last game of the season. We forget that he missed training camp too with an injury, so he was set back a little bit, but really came on. Grazi, when he played, you know, he played well. And then moving on to Ace, you know, rookie wide receiver. We draft him as a punt returner, ends up having 51 receptions for us. So felt good about, you know, the production that those three guys had. Obviously, Luke was doing a nice job moving over left tackle. And he is going to be healthy, and he's back training with us right now. Hasn't even left town. So we look forward to getting him back on the field. And then, you know, guys like D-Rob, D-Mac, they are, you know, we expect big things from them in the future. Josh Evans is another guy that's had a lot of playing time and done a nice job.
Hey Gus, you ended up last in the league in sacks, tied with Chicago. How much of an emphasis will that be in free agency to get that edge guy?
Well, I think it's, you know, we're always going to try to improve our roster, and you know, that's an aspect that we look at. We improved from the stats from last year, but I think the biggest thing for this year, you talked about the strengths and weaknesses, and you know, what we were trying to establish was a standard of excellence. A standard to recreate that and say, hey, this is what's acceptable. And I think after our first year going through it, now we just reset that bar and we say, okay, Now here's the improvements that we made. Now we reset that bar, and then now we're on that journey. And we just keep elevating, and we keep challenging. And that's the same thing with SAC specifically. All right, here's where we were. This is where we want to. We need to see improvement in these areas, okay? Now let's reset that bar. And we do that through coaching. We do that through personnel. And, again, you know, to be creative in the ways we can get pressure.
How much passing yards is that? I mean, offensive yards is actually down this year from last year. And defense was went from, like, 30th to 27th. So
the total number of yards, you mean, on offense?
Yeah.
You know, some of it, I don't know. That'd be an interesting thing to look at. You look at the, you know, some of the gun read series, you know, last year was really effective, and a lot of yards were gained off of that, and it seemed like it slowed down a little bit this year. You know, not saying team stopped it, but it became more manageable, and maybe a lot of those yards came from that last year. It'd be an area to look at.
Dave, when you look at pass rush and you look at the running game, what areas do you feel when you look at free agency, when you look at the draft, is it more realistic for the Jaguars to make a significant jump?
I would say rush, our running game. I think, you know, with the ability to draft offensive linemen in the mid rounds, sign some guys of value in free agency, and I feel like that, along with another year in our system, is a feasible thing for us to accomplish going into next year. As far as the pass rush goes, it's they're not overly easy to find, and I think we got to find the right person to fit our scheme, and we're going to be on track to find good opportunity in free agency if somebody, you know, that we feel like we can develop as a pass rusher or in the draft.
Gus, follow up on that run game. Do you remain committed to zone blocking?
And the gap, yeah.
Why do you think that'll work?
Well, I think it's more challenging. You're creating more issues on a defense whenever you have the ability to do both. And but some of it will be based on the personnel that we continually evolve to. You know, we'll use our strengths of our offensive line.
Can you say with certainty, Dave, that you will address the quarterback situation in the draft?
I cannot say with certainty.
Why not?
Well, I think the draft, you know, there's no guarantees in the draft, and to be quite frank, we don't even know, you know, what quarterbacks are going to be available in the draft right now. And so with certainty, I can't tell you that.
Can you say with certainty that it needs to be addressed?
I could say that we would like to upgrade, you know, a lot of our positions, and quarterback is one that we'd like to upgrade.
Can you give us an update on Justin Blackman?
I cannot give you an update on Justin Blackman. You know, that's a league issue, and very limited contact is allowed with Justin. So
you can't tell us whether he's doing well and staying in shape. And
no,
you can't tell us because
I can't tell
you
because I can't tell you because I don't know.
Dave, Justin, you know?
No.
Do you expect to be more active in free agency this year than you were last year?
I wouldn't say from a volume of players, I would not say we would be more active.
Do you think you'd be able to target some guys who would make more immediate impact, bigger name guys, more veteran guys?
I don't know about bigger name guys, but hopefully guys that make a more impact.
When you say that you can't guarantee that you would address the quarterback issue in the draft, are you basically saying that it all depends on where what's available at the time you're picking, as opposed to not necessarily wanting to?
Correct. Yeah.
So if you don't think there's a guy number three worth taking the quarterback, no quarterback worth taking a 3-year pass on the quarterback.
Yeah.
Dave, what did you learn about Gus as a head coach this year?
I learned that he's extremely consistent, and everything that we, you know, the reasons we hired him, you know, passionate, you know, deals with the players and his surrounding support staff extremely well, and that the reason we hired him is to be the leader in the face of this, you know, franchise, and feel like that. Those are the things that we've learned about him, that he is all those.
Dave, like on a follow-up on Blackman, are you planning as if you're going to have him?
You know, we haven't really discussed. You know, we're waiting to hear word from kind of like the NFL and the NFLPA in terms of where he's at. But I think for us, it's we should plan that if it does work out and he does come back, that's a luxury for us. Uh-huh. And if he doesn't, then, you know, we have to have contingency plans.
So has the league said given you any timetable, if things go well, he'll be reinstated?
No.
I'd like for you both to address this question, but what has this regular season taught you about where the game is going in the future?
Well, it's highly competitive for sure, and you look at, you know, the teams and, you know, the 8-8 teams and the, you know, the ability to make the playoffs at 8-8, and there's very few elite teams, and there's very few really bad teams too. So I think there's a, you know, what the league wanted is parity. I think you're going to see that, and I think you're going to see the ability for us to you know, challenge here in the future, you know, at some point in time.
I think it's a really competitive league, and week in and week out, just like the facts that we know that at any time, you know, each team has the opportunity to be successful, and it's that competitive, and you have to show up every week. And there's a lot of variables that go into it, you know, the healthier team, the schedule, how are you playing yourself, the execution. But, you know, it's a challenging week-to-week deal for our teams. And, you know, I think we learned that depth is important. We've learned that consistency is important, and that's what we have to strive to get to.
A couple of days removed from the regular season, two different times in the last four games you said, this doesn't meet our standard. Can you, I mean, the team was a different team in, if you will, the third quarter of the season than it was in the fourth quarter. Can you address what happened in the last three or four games and why it didn't meet your standard?
Well, I think, you know what, in our philosophy, you know, you get better, you get better, and you're striving to be your best. And I think that what I've added on was that we want to continue to put ourselves in position to strike, you know, put ourselves close. So those last couple of games, the Tennessee game, the Buffalo game, we were in position to strike. We were right there to, okay, now let's capture this opportunity. It wasn't like earlier where it was double-digit losses and things like that. We put ourselves in that position, and we didn't capture it. That's where it's not acceptable. We put ourselves in position to strike, and now we got to capture it. I just constantly want to have our team strive to say, it's not good enough, and we've got to meet that standard, and we got to capture those opportunities. I think that, you know, when you talk about phase one, or step one, we really wanted to build a competitive team. Competitive by adding to the roster, what Dave did. We want to build a competitive mindset. And I think, what was it, with 2:19 left to go in the game against Indy, we called a timeout. And we said, all right, well, Gus, it's whatever the score was. We're not done yet. We got to go out there. We got to do a two-minute drive. Get ourselves. We got an opportunity here in front of us, and we're going to compete. And I think it's a message to send to the team. Let's go out there and find a way to capture this opportunity. And we did it, and we scored. It's good. Compete, compete, compete. I don't care about the scoreboard. We have to drive that mindset into our players. We have a standard, and we're competing with that standard, and we're going to continually raise the bar. And I think those are all things that we wanted to get accomplished this year, was to create that new standard and to constantly put in our guys' minds that we're not there yet. We're not there yet. So that's where it comes from.
What's step two?
Well, step two, I think, you know, we got to continue with the culture. I think that's important because it is. The players want consistency. The players need consistency. And I think it's a good thing. You know, we have the same staff back, assistant coaches back. We have to create that stability within our players' minds. The message has to be consistent in how we approach things. You know, that's part of step two. I would say establishing this new standard of what's acceptable. Okay, this is where we're at, but this is the new standard. Let's create that new standard, and, you know, that's what's acceptable amongst our team. Elevate our roster. You know, continue to add better players to our roster, primarily through the draft, but we'll add free agencies too. And we just continue to build that because we need even a more competitive roster in this whole process. So all those things would be a part of step two.
Guys, you talk about having a new standard. What about for the secondary next year? That group is not going to be learning on the fly next year. What are going to be your expectations for not only getting more turnovers but more pass breakups? Because it just didn't seem like your secondary got their hands on a lot of balls.
I would think, you know, one of the biggest areas you can improve the secondary is with rush. You know, it just happens that way. And I think, you know, that's got to be a primary focus with us, is how are we going to get – I mean, yes, we improved. That's great. I mean, we can hang our hat on that, but it's still not good enough. And we need to affect the quarterback, and not only on third downs, but in first and second down. And I think when you have that opportunity to affect the quarterback, those things will come. You know, we'll look back and we'll see that we had missed opportunities. you know, just in the Indy game, Leroy. I mean, Puz and Leroy ran into each other, and we've had some missed opportunities where we dropped some balls and things like that. I think those are where we got to go back to and say, hey, when you add rush along with that, those opportunities will come.
Did you mention the assistant coaches? Are they all going to be back?
Yes.
Are they going to make
any changes?
No changes.
How key is stability?
It's big. You know, being here and seeing what's taking place, I just think that's really important. Really important for our guys right now. To
big,
have
from a, big from a personnel standpoint, too. Very big.
And does,
doing,
going back, aside from the secondary, is there, you can't change it all in one free agency or one draft, is there a is there a group, that, a position group, that maybe you feel like that you could be okay with status quo going into 2014?
Well, I feel like our secondary is a group that, you know, the three out of four starters were rookies. Expect them to all take a big jump next year. Alan Ball, I thought, you know, for guys his first year as a starter, he came in and did a really nice job. And, you know, Coach can talk more about that. But we look forward to D-Mac. You know, seventh round pick out of App State, came in, starts against Seattle. Third game of the year, and held his own, and we got some play time the rest of the year. Did a really nice job on special teams, but is a guy that fits our mold of what we're looking for in players. So you're going to see some guys that can come up and kind of grow and get better. And you know, with the stability of our new coaching or with our coaching staff and another year in the system, I think you're going to see improvement just from familiarity.
Dave, follow up on it. Do you have, is the starting free safety on the roster right now? Is that, or is that a priority?
I wouldn't say it's a high priority. I would not say it's a high priority.
What do you got? Can you take us through some nuts and bolts? What are you doing right now? I mean, you met with your staff.
Yeah.
Get them all back. And then is it player evaluation? Can you tell us, like, what the next week's like?
Well.
I
yeah, go ahead, Dave. Okay.
Yeah, well, about 12:30 today, we're going to go home. We're going to be off till about Monday. So, so that's our next week. But starting from there, you know, I think our coaches, they need a break. And I think it's important for them to get away. You know, I think I was telling somebody, I think from the start of training camp until now, they may have had, you know, 3 days away from this building on the bye week. And I think they need time to reflect. And, you know, they're doing their end-of-season evaluations right now in our computer system. We'll let those sit for a couple weeks, and then when we come back, we'll talk about those. I think it's important to get their perspective, you know, 2 or 3 weeks away from the season versus, you know, still in the heat of the moment of, you know, our last game or our last loss or some of the things that went wrong. And then really evaluate our roster then to over the course of the year. And then I think from that time all the way through the offseason, they'll really dig into scheme and a lot of different things.
Yeah, I've had the opportunity, I'm not completely finished yet, but to sit down and meet with each one of our assistant coaches on a one-on-one. And it hasn't been a 10-minute talk. It's been some have gone over an hour. And but we did that before all that started, we met as a staff. And I agree with Dave. I agree that we need time off as coaches and assistant coaches. They need to, you know, I think that you have a different perspective if you get away for a while and to come back. But my challenge was, okay, that's all good. We take a break. Go enjoy yourself. Now get back here, and then we got to get to work, man. We've got to find a way. And I'm not talking about, okay, we'll get better personnel, and they'll compete, and we'll find a way to get better. I challenge each one of them to say, how are you going to get better? What do we know? What do you know now that you didn't know about yourself? How are you going to improve as a coach? How are you going to be a better leader? How are you going to challenge these guys? You know, what are we going to do about the defense? What are we going to do about the pass rush? Let's look at yards per carry. How come this happened? And just keep competing. Not only, I mean, that's great for the players, but we need to do it as well as coaches. And I think our coaches are really looking forward to that. And I know I am. I can't wait to get in that room and tear it apart, along with, you know, meeting with Dave and the scouting to look at, you know, personnel.
You kind of walked into this. All right, so what are you personally going to do to meet yourself?
Yeah, I know that you do it somewhat during the season. You know, I think that you talk to people, you look at. I know for me, a lot of it is watching opponents, you know, watching the number one third down defense in the league, watch the, you know, the best offensive red zone team in the league, and then look at it and see what's going on. And I try to do that week to week and just take a look at it just to make sure we're always ahead of the game. But I think that's what you have to capture in the off season. You have to do a tremendous amount of studies. How do we play stacks? How do we play bunches? How, what's effective? What's not? How can we fail here? What do we need to do to improve? How can we get our terminology? You know, is what Jed Fish saying in his position mean the same as Ron Middleton, the same as Terry Richardson? They're all saying the same things, but they're using different language. Well, let's use the same language. Let's get all, let's tighten this up and allow us to be better teachers. You know, all those things that are going on.
Hey, Dave, are you guys confirmed for the Senior Bowl?
We are not officially confirmed.
When will that happen?
Hopefully by the end of the week.
And Gus, if that does happen, what's the advantage for you?
I think it's awesome. I think it's a great opportunity. I did it 1 year as a part of it when we did it in Tampa, and I think it's great. I know our coaches, I told them, just be prepared. It could be a possibility. You'll have some time off, and then we get back, and it's a great evaluation tool. It's maybe better for us as coaches than sitting there in our room and watching tape over and over again. We can evaluate all aspects of the game. So I think it's – I don't want to make a habit of it, but as long as we have this opportunity, we need to take advantage of it.
We do have two coaches coaching the East-West game.
Which ones?
Terry Richardson and Ron Middleton. They're chosen by the league.
Isn't the Senior Bowl a slam dunk? I mean, Houston and Washington, they don't have coaches.
Yeah.
So I would assume.
I would think so. Don't assume anything now.
With Washington and Houston, that's an assumption. They don't have coaching staffs. So.
Well, you could – like I said, it hasn't officially been confirmed. But
is that suggesting that Gus may be fired?
the league makes an announcement on that, so we'll give them.
But
there.
It's fair to say, and you said you don't want to make a habit of it. This is something you really would like to do.
Yeah, I mean, if this is a situation we're in and it presents this opportunity, then we're going to make the most of it. We're going to make the most of it.
This for both of you, Dave. 11 and a half months ago, you said you were looking for a partner. And you hired the man to your left. How has the partnership grown? What's it been like? Any surprises along the way?
I don't think there was any major surprises. I think we each kind of found out what we like to do and what we don't like to do, and we kind of at one point in time made an analogy of building a house in terms of, okay, you know, you go, you know, I'm interested in the living room and the big screen TV. He's interested in the garage. You take care of the garage, I'll take care of the TV. And then if you have any ideas or suggestions, you know, come and let me know that you might want it. So I think no surprises. I think that's exceeded my expectations, to be quite honest with you. And I know our owner feels the same, and Chad, and he knows the importance of our relationship and us building this together and having the same visions and beliefs. And there's been nothing that has come up that's been a major surprise.
Dave, you evaluate the quarterback class in this draft just as a general overall group?
Well, I could. I think there's a lot to, like I said, we're not sure exactly who's going to be available in this class, which is, there's still a handful of unknowns. And then there's a lot of evaluation that has to take place by Gus, by our position coaches, by our scouts, by our, you know, pro department. So I would prefer to reserve judgment on that until later date.
Where on the priority list is re-signing Maurice, and do you feel like we even need to address that position even if you bring him back?
Same thing with the quarterback. You know, I think we need to upgrade. You know, we're always looking to upgrade all positions, and I think to this, like Gus said, step two is to raise that standard of acceptance. And I think we do have to address that, and I think we always have to have a contingency plan in place for all positions.
You know,
where's
Maurice
on the priority list on re-signing him?
You know, I think we have to tell the coaches in a couple of weeks and see where they're at with that too. So,
is the first thing you'll do is look at the free agents on your own current roster and decide whether you're going to offer them contracts?
Yeah, well, I think it's important to look at, you know, not only to look at the guys on our roster, but what's available and make sure that we don't get worse, you know. So I think it's important to say, what can we really address in the draft? What can we really address in free agency? And then, you know what, it's not a good market out there for position X. Let's make sure we get Clay Harbor back, for instance, or Sam Young or somebody like that, because we might not be able to get that in the draft.
The way Maurice is talking, he's got this number in mind. Usually Maurice tends to have a high number in mind. I was pessimistic about your chances of signing
him. No, you know, Gus and I and Maurice and I had a good conversation yesterday. I think he'll leave that up to his representation in terms of, you know, finding him the best value for his deal. And I'm not pessimistic at all about it. I think, I think he's earned the right to go to free agency. I think this is his first time. You know, he's been a great player in this organization, and he's had a great career. And I think he's earned the right to go see what his value and his market is. And then it's our right to decide if we want to match it, you know, and bring him back. So I think that's kind of where we're at now. And I think
so you'll kind of let him hit the market and then see what the market is and see if you want to match it. Is that kind of the plan?
I think that's probably the plan. And I think he's earned that right to see that.
Mm-hmm. So you probably won't sign him before free agency.
I wouldn't envision that, no. Mm-hmm.
Got a couple guys on his team under contract that had high cap numbers, Mercedes and Pozzolesi. Do you anticipate them being back next year?
Yeah, we anticipate them being back. So
at those numbers?
I haven't discussed it with anybody, but yeah, as far as right now.
You guys have echoed the continuous improvement mantra. 4-12 is better than 2-14. Do you just say, okay, doubling the win total is the goal again next year, or can you not look at it like that from your perspective?
I don't. But I imagine that's probably not normal. I know that's what generally you do. But I think there's so many things that go into it, you know, and I think it's just a feeling, you know, how your team is playing and do you execute consistently. You know, I think we judge it more off of that. And, you know, because statistics, I mean, they're a barometer, but I think you got to be really careful with them. Just like if they wanted to have that 80-yard run, we held them to 2.4 yards per carry. You know, it's that kind of theory. You just got to be careful how to utilize that. And I think we just have to trust our feeling. And, you know, just like when we were struggling in the beginning, I just felt like, yeah, I know we're struggling, but I feel like we're getting better. And I do trust that it will come. It's just a feeling I have. Well, it's not showing up, Gus, I know, but it's a feeling that you have, and I think you got to go by that somewhat.
From a team's perspective, how does something, I mean, people always focus on the playoff turnover every year that happens, not just Atlanta and Kansas City, or I mean, Kansas City and Carolina, but Atlanta and Houston, the other end of the spectrum. How do those two things kind of happen?
Well, I think every season is individual of itself. It's from year to year, it's a new season. It's a new group of players. It's a new new energy, new culture. So I think hopefully for us it won't be a new culture, but it's every year's new, and there's just like the draft, and there's no guarantees. You can't anticipate injuries. You can't anticipate certain things happening, players getting suspended or whatever it might be. You just hope that you make the right decisions to give yourself the best opportunity going to training camp to be one of those teams that can improve over the year.
Dave, do you envision the possibility of signing Chad Henne before free agency starts?
That's a possibility. Yeah.
Dave, do you expect a significant roster turnover again?
I don't. You know, we have 10 draft picks, at least 10 draft picks. I think that's second most. I think San Francisco has 12. I think Cleveland might have 10 too. So we'll have those 10 players. We'll have another crop of college free agency, and hopefully we'll get some production like we did this year out of guys like Avery Jones and Leroy Reynolds, and then we'll add our modest free agency class. And
offensively and defensively, what are two or three positions that you feel good about that you don't feel like have to be significantly upgraded?
Well, our secondary for one on defensively, I think we talked about that already.
Right.
And then offensively, Mercedes, Clay Harbor, they did a nice job at tight end. Our two tackles, Frenchie and Luke Jokel, feel really good about those two guys coming back and being our starting tackles. And I think just getting depth across the board would be the best thing in some,
Yeah, I think that, specifically, like strong safety, Jonathan Cyprian, I feel good about that.
Right.
Will T at fullback, I've learned, huh? You know, there's positions like that you feel good. What I think is that, that step one part where we improve the bottom third of the roster, I think we have definitely improved the bottom third of the roster. How do you know? Well, I look at special teams. And I see our rankings in a lot of special teams categories. I see improvement was made there, and that was a classic illustration. But I do think that through the draft and through moderate free agency signings, I think that we need to improve the upper part. You know, we say, well, you can compete and do that during the season. Now how about in the offseason? Well, in the offseason, we need to continue to bring in competitive guys for that upper part of that roster now. And that's what we have to do.
Are you okay with his number for next year? Is that not a
problem?
His cap
number? Yeah. I have to sit down with Tim Walsh and everybody, and I haven't really even thought much about that. We're more evaluating players, and then we'll assign what we feel like is the proper, you know, value if we feel good about it or don't feel good about it. But we don't have any cap issues right now, so cap is not an issue.
You've talked to us all year long. If you're going to talk to fans right now, what would you tell them?
You know what? I'm into this step two part of it. Really, I am. And I think that it does two things. I think that it says that to the fans, it shows that, well, they completed step one. And it means that they must have vision. If they're on to the next step, they know what they're doing. They have the vision. They know it's taking place here. And good job. We completed step one. We had success, and it allowed us to move into step two. That's right. And we have vision for step two and how this thing is going to play out. And now we're going to go attack step two. You know, I know they're results-oriented, and I can appreciate that. I hope that they're competitive too. And we just have to trust this is the way we need to do it. And you have to trust our vision that we're going to eventually give you what you want. And we have to do it in this manner to do it. And we're looking for sustained success. And to do that, sometimes it's a process. And, you know, I think that's what's cool about what we have here, where Dave Schott and I are really all on the same page, and we all believe in this. And now we move on to that step, and we're going to attack it. And they can trust, if anything, that we're going to compete our tail off in every phase that we go through. And that's our objective.
So while you anticipate getting better, fans, unlike you, are results-oriented.
Right.
So, well, you know what I mean, wins.
Right.
So you would agree with fans who are walking out here saying, gee, if they only win four games again next year, that's not a success.
Well, I just believe, believe me, I would like to see some victories too. That's important. But I just have so much conviction that in order to get those, we have to do it this way. And we have to really stay true to it and have conviction in this. And that conviction is going to be tested. And we have to be strong in this in order for those results to come. And so we all want what they want, but we have to stay true to this in order to get there.
Dave, there was a thread that ran through all your draft picks this year. When you talked to them all year long, there was something about all of them that was similar. Can we anticipate that same kind of guy being in your mind, that's whatever that thing is, kind of, you know, nebulous out there?
That highly competitive, highly passionate football player?
The next group of guys you bring in will be the same kind of guy.
Yeah.
That's what you're always looking for.
I think that's fair to say.
Yeah. I mean, that's, I said before, we want to fill this team with spirited guys that are very competitive, that love football. And that's what we want this whole team to be made up of. And this past year, it gave us a chance to evaluate some of that. And that's what we're doing right now. We'll write these guys up and take a look at them and find out which guys meet that criteria and can help us, you know, get better as a team. And I think we want to infuse our team with more of those type personalities.
Dave, you need a center and a left guard. Went through a couple there. Is that in-house the best way to find that, or is that a free agency?
Well, I think, you know, Gus and I kind of talked about a little bit of a quick wish list, and I said, obviously, we can't fill all of our needs, so through free agency, through a draft, but who can we fill our needs with people that are here right now, and who can we anticipate maybe filling that center role, right guard role, or left guard role, or whatever it might be, Leo. And so I think we need to really sit down with our coaches when they get back and really kind of say, hey, who can we, you know, fill this need with this year, and let us use our resources, whether it's a draft pick or free agency, to go fill another need that's more of a pressing issue.
I think it's I'll give you an example of it, how I think of it. It's like, you know, maybe Jed Fish during the year said, we don't have a Darren Sproles type in the backfield, a guy like that to move out in the empty and get him the ball creatively. And I think that you can sit there and say, yeah, we don't have that guy. Let's go out and find that guy. But instead we said, well, wait a minute. We've got Ace Sanders. Let's use Ace in that role. And I think that's what you can get caught up with in the draft and free agency, too. It's like, oh, we don't have this guy. Well, let's go out and get him in free agency, and let's go get him in the draft and do that. Well, hold on now. Make sure you don't forget about your team. And look there. Is there a way that you can find that guy? Can Leroy Reynolds be a linebacker? Can he be that guy rather than always looking outside? First, exhaust everything within your team. And if the answer is still no, then you have to look to that. I think we have to have that type of mentality.
I know it's 2 days after the season, but any thoughts on Blaine going forward?
We've had a talk with Blaine yesterday and told him that, you know, he's a Jaguar. I'd like him to have a back and feel that, you know, he's under contract and, you know, he's made great strides this year. You guys probably haven't seen a lot of it because it's been mostly through our practice, but, you know, and he wants to be back too, so that says a lot about Blaine. And so we're just taking it day by day, and we'll go from there.
You did tell him you want him back, though.
Why?
Go back to Darren's pro.
On Gabbert, what's the positive of keeping him here?
Well, there's no downside. You know, he's at the very least, he's a very good backup, and he's under contract. You know, there's no reason why not to keep him here.
What if he's not, like, in sync with a new quarterback, even though you can't?
Well, then we'd have to make that decision when that comes to it. But, knowing Blaine and knowing what he's all about, he's been a great teammate. He's been good in the locker room. I can't envision him not being in sync with
the new quarterback. You've been talking about Darren Sproles. What about Denard Robinson? You've seen him now for a year.
Yeah.
Is he capable of filling that role? What's his future?
Well, I think this year he's got – I think this year has been really good for him. I think, you know, he asked me during the season, he said, how do I need to get better? What do I need to do? How do I – you know, how can I take the next step? And, you know, part of it is just he needs experience. And he went out there, and then he got some experience. And I think it really came to light. Okay, I see it now. I need to be more consistent in how I handle the ball. I need to be more consistent in my protections. And I think that my hopes is that this has been a good process for him and that he makes big strides. How big, I don't know. But I think he's such a competitor. I know he's going after it. And he had a little bit of a taste of it, had a little bit of success on 3 or 4 carries, whatever he had. But hopefully it's enough that really, you know, gets him going in the off season.
Best and worst moments of the season for each of you.
Best and worst?
Moments, yeah.
Well, I think that, you know, from start to the end, I think our guys consistently had the same outlook. They took each challenge. They came out every day in practice, and whether we had some victories or whether we had some defeats that we were dealing with it, they came closer to the mindset that we're looking to sustain this. I think there's a lot, we celebrate a lot of individual accomplishments. I go back and I get excited about, like, Puzz, and he had his best year. He felt like he had his best year. A guy like Kerry Taylor, who struggled early and then captured it and really performed at a high level, or Austin Pasteur that came to me and said, hey, Gus, when I was at Minnesota, I got caught up in all these things going on around me, but this year I really just concentrated on improving, and I did. You know, and it's like, okay, all those things put together, that's what's the best moment. The worst moment, you know, is feeling like the frustration, like you can't get it for them fast enough. You want to understand, and you want to happen fast for them. And it just doesn't happen that way. And I suppose dealing with that a little bit.
Okay. Was I supposed to answer his question?
Yeah.
Best for me was probably just to see this team battle through adversity. You know, 0-8, you know, nobody gave us a chance to win a game. And for our players just to stay focused and stay the course, our coaching staff, and really proud of them even through the 0-8 stretch that they just kept fighting and battling and knowing that, you know, that the results would come, and then to see Gus's philosophy, our philosophy come together, and the results started to come, and for us to be really competitive that last half of the season was probably the best moment. Worst moment, probably what I probably felt worse about was Luke Jokel. You know, he finally gets his chance to be a starting left tackle in the NFL and playing really well against a high-level opponent and has a very unfortunate, to no fault of his own, breaks his leg. So that's probably the worst.
Hey, Dave, you say you had 10 picks right now, sitting at number 3 overall. Is that a tough place to trade out of to get fair value?
I wouldn't say it's any tougher than any other position. It's all about supply and demand, and it's, you know, if there's a player that the team covets, they're going to come up and pay a premium. If there's not, then you're going to end up taking probably the raw end of the deal if you want to trade out.
Because last year you didn't even come close to trading out of 2 for that very reason.
Yeah. Okay. And just like every year, and every season is different, every draft's different. There's a new crop of players, and, you know, if there's Andrew Luck and an RG3 this year, you probably don't want to be at 3. If there's an Andrew Luck RG3 and a Peyton Manning, 3 is probably a good spot to be.
If there's a Clowney Bridgewater,
yeah,
you're 3.
Gus, was there Ace gave you a spark on offense, but was there any set of or sense of disappointment that there wasn't more in the punt return game with him? And
yeah, I think that we had hoped that we'd had a chance to spring one or two. We feel like he's got the ability, but I think it's, you know, we can do a better job holding up. I think that when you get one long return, it really spreads throughout the whole punt return unit. And you know, we didn't get that feeling from our punt return unit. We had chances, but you know, we'll look to find ways to improve that.
Do you still think he can be that kind of guy for you?
Yeah.
I know you guys may be tired of answering this question, but now that it's officially over, 14 years with one team, any final comments on Brad Meester retiring?
I told Brad yesterday. I think he is. What every pro should aspire to be. I mean, he's a complete pro. He's a great guy. He's good in the community. He's good in the locker room. He's made the most out of his talent. And I think if you want to have a professional career, you should try to have one like Brad Meester.
Ryan Robinson also has some things to add on. you know what? He's awesome. Yeah, he's awesome.
Josh, what are you going to do this week? You're off. Play golf, fish.
You know what? I'm being here, and then Friday I'm taking 3 of my kids to SeaWorld, and then we're going to the Orlando Heat game on Saturday.